This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
For years, people have told themselves a comforting story about Long Island. They told themselves that the bodies along Ocean Parkway must belong to one killer, one mind, one motive, one monster hiding off in the dunes. It was the easier way of thinking. And yeah, I mean, you figure out your monster. They think it's Rex Huerman. Obviously, he's charged with a lot of the crimes. Not yet convicted, innocent until proven guilty. When you have that, the one mind, one motive, one monster, it's easier to digest. Cleaner. You catch the wolf and the woods go quiet again. Perfect for picnics and long walks along the beach, right? But life almost never works that cleanly. And violence certainly doesn't. Sometimes the scariest thing about a serial predator isn't what he did. It's who else was doing the same thing at the same time, in the same shadows, with the same level of confidence that nobody was looking. That's the part people don't want to sit with when they talk about Rex Huerman. They want the Hollywood version. The lumbering architect with the double life, the secret burner phones, the quiet suburban home that investigators say doubled as a chamber of horrors. The man who looked like an extra from a tax seminar, but allegedly lived like a ghost in his own house. But fixating on Rex alone, pretending he is the story, is its own form of denial. It forces the monster into a neat little box so we don't have to ask harder questions about why these killings went on for so long, why the victims were so disposable to the system, and why it took decades for anyone to say, something is very wrong here. Because the truth is this, Rex didn't operate in a vacuum. He operated in a landscape where predators thrive and victims disappear. Without the world flinching. A landscape that has existed for decades, a landscape that to this day still has dozens of unidentified bodies, dozens of families without closure, and a long, ugly history of law enforcement dysfunction that created the perfect environment for multiple killers to operate at once. The myth of the lone wolf didn't just keep Rex hidden, it kept everyone else hidden too. And we're about to get into that. Before we do, if you have not done so already, please do hit subscribe on us if you're listening to us on the podcast platform, or if you're on YouTube, especially YouTube, hit subscribe. We're shooting to get to 100,000 subscribers by the end of the year. We're almost there. And we have a little ways to go. We're at about 82,000-83,000 right now. With your help, though, with you hitting subscribe, that can make a big difference. Let's see if we can do this before we get into 2026. We're going to get there close, but see if it can help. Please do hit subscribe. And more importantly, comment. Give us your thoughts on all of this in the comment section. You can't talk about Huerman without first talking about the victims, not just the identified ones, but the women who never got names. The Jane Does found in the underbrush with only partial remains left. The victims whose bones were scattered by weather, animals, or time. The ones whose disappearances were never reported because nobody cared enough to file the report in the first place. People forget how many of these women lived on the margins. Unstable housing, estranged families, addiction issues, survival sex work, the kind of existence where going missing doesn't trigger an Amber Alert. It just triggers a shrug. When you're uncounted in life, you're uncounted in death. And that's exactly the kind of environment predators like Huerman exploit. Look at the map of Long Island's unsolved homicides. Missing women. Unidentified remains. It doesn't look like a single predator's hunting ground. It looks like a battlefield nobody bothered to secure. Bodies left along parkways, bodies near trails, bodies dumped in clusters that don't match each other. Bodies when you buy a brand new mattress this weekend only at Mattress Firm. Okay, I'm kidding. The Mattress Firm did not make that ad. There's a Mattress Firm everywhere. What's going on? You know, I wonder the same thing. Anyway, you don't get a body this weekend when you buy a mattress. That's only right after Christmas where you get that. I'm kidding. For years, the official narrative, we're looking for one killer. That narrative held not because the evidence said so, but because the public needed something simple to latch onto. The idea that maybe, just maybe, there could be more than one serial predator working the same coastline at the same time. It was a little too heavy to hold. Just one is enough. And when things are a little too heavy to hold, people don't hold it. But the investigators knew. Anybody familiar with homicide signature knew. The remains found in 2010 and 2011 didn't all fit a single pattern. Some were dismembered, some weren't. Some had been there a decade, some hadn't. Some were wrapped in burlap, others scattered. Some were different killers with different rituals, different motives operating in the same window of time. And Long Island became a dumping ground, not because of one man, but because the system made it easy for anyone with violence in their heart and access to a car. So when you think about serial predators, we tend to picture someone sulking in the shadows. But the reality is far more mundane. They walk among us. They go to work. They pay their bills late. They complain about traffic. They live in communities. We're not asking questions is considered polite. They move through neighborhoods, conditioned to mind their own business. In a world like that, all a predator has to do is stay bland enough to blend in. And Rex, he was bland. He was the wallpaper version of a human being, a man built to disappear in plain sight. But blandness alone doesn't explain how he stayed hidden. Systems do. Systems filled with blind spots so massive you could drive a body out to the dunes and trust that no one would stumble across it for years. Systems where missing women were quietly categorized as runaways, transients, or lifestyle choices gone wrong. Systems where departments refused to share information because of turf wars, egos, corruption, or outright negligence. One department sitting on data, another ignoring tips, a third under pressure from a chief more interested in protecting his own reputation than protecting the actual public itself. That sort of dysfunction didn't just let Rex get away with murder. It created an unspoken invitation to others, too. Most people don't know this, but criminologists estimate that Long Island could have anywhere from 25 to 50 unidentified homicide victims whose death fits the hallmark of serial predation. Not all from Rex, not even close. Some predate him by decades. Some appear to overlap. Some seem to have occurred after he allegedly stopped. That alone should shatter the lone wolf narrative, because wolves don't share territory, but serial killers absolutely do. Especially when the territory is a place where victims go unnoticed and law enforcement goes uncoordinated. And that's the part nobody wants to talk about. That maybe, for years, Long Island was not dealing with one predator, but with a cluster of them, individuals who didn't know each other, didn't work together, didn't operate as some conspiracy, but who all benefited from the same ecosystem of silence. The same blind spots, the same lack of urgency around missing women who weren't from the right neighborhoods, the same fragmented agencies that turned the search for predators into a bureaucratic scavenger hunt. When law enforcement isn't talking to each other, predators don't have to work hard to hide. When victims are marginalized, predators don't have to try hard to choose them. When the public is encouraged to see S workers as reckless instead of vulnerable, predators get a green light. When police chiefs are more concerned with political optics than cold cases, predators get time. And when families are too ashamed, scared, or distrustful to file missing persons reports, predators don't just get victims, they get invisibility. That invisibility is what Rex allegedly used to his advantage. But here's a part that should make everyone's skin crawl. If he used it, others used it. Others probably still are, because nothing about Long Island magically became safer the day Rex was arrested. The dunes didn't transform, the highways didn't rearrange themselves, the vulnerabilities didn't evaporate, and the women who walk the same streets tonight face the same dangers the victims faced years ago. You want to talk about the myth of the lone wolf? The myth is that predators like Huerman exist in isolation. They don't. They exist because the environment nurtures them. They exist because the system teaches them that certain victims won't trigger alarm bells. They exist because decades of culture and policing built a world where some disappearances spark manhunts and others spark nothing. And they exist because people cling to the idea that monsters operate alone. When history shows again and again, they rarely do. Think about the families who still don't have answers. Think about the cases that never got media attention. Think about the unidentified remains labeled with numbers instead of names. Each of those represents a story that doesn't end neatly. And for decades, Long Island has been a graveyard of unfinished stories. That's not because of one man. That's because of a pattern. Huerman's arrest brought closure for some families, but it also exposed the incompleteness of the larger narrative, because for every victim tied to him, there are others whose murders don't fit his profile, others whose remains were found in the same general vicinity but with entirely different forensic signatures, others whose cases were barely investigated at all. And if we truly want justice, we can't stop at the man being held in a jail cell right now. We have to look at the forest, not just the one wolf you caught. You want to know how many other killers might still be out there? Look at the gaps. Look at the bodies with no perpetrator linked. Look at the timeline clusters that don't make sense if only one offender was in play. Look at the cases dismissed as drug-related, as if being vulnerable makes someone's death less suspicious. Look at the years of chaos when the Suffolk County Police Department was dealing with scandal, corruption, and an administration more focused on burying its own skeletons than uncovering anyone else's. Do you know what happens when a system loses its moral compass? People like Rex flourish, and so do people the world still hasn't named. And that's where this conversation needs to go, not just to what Rex did, but about the system that enabled it, about how the classification of certain women at high risk somehow doubles as permission to investigate their disappearances with half the intensity, about why families had to fight to be heard, about why police chiefs treated their image as the priority, about why certain cases fell through the cracks so quietly you'd think the cracks were designed that way. Some people say that even the idea of multiple killers on Long Island feels too dark, too cynical, too bleak. But is it cynical? Or is it realistic? Because statistically, regions with large transient populations, coastlines, fragmented law enforcement, and vulnerable victims don't produce one offender. They produce multiple. That's not a curse. That's a formula. The real problem isn't that serial predators exist. They always have. The real problem is when communities pretend that one arrest solves the problem. When society clings to the illusion that the lone wolf is it. Because it's easier than acknowledging structural rot. When closure becomes more important than truth, when the narrative of one monster is used as an excuse not to investigate the ecosystem that made him possible. So yes, if Rex Huerman is guilty of the murders he's accused of, he is responsible for unimaginable horror. But the question that comes next is even more disturbing. How many others exploited the exact same cracks he did and are still out there, unnoticed, undetected, going to work every day just like you and me? How many victims never became headlines? How many families still think their daughter ran away when the truth is sitting in an evidence room, misfiled under unknown female? How many killers walked the same stretch of Ocean Parkway thinking the same thoughts Rex allegedly did, confident nobody would ever connect their crimes to anyone or anything? That's why the lone wolf myth is so dangerous. It gives people the illusion of safety. It lets police agencies congratulate themselves for catching the one killer as if the underlying structure hasn't been crumbling for years. It lets the public pretend the danger is gone, and it lets society avoid looking in the mirror and asking how many vulnerable people it failed. And if you want the real punchline, it's that systems often like the lone wolf myth because it takes the spotlight off them. One predator is responsible for everything, then agencies aren't responsible for decades of oversight failure. If one monster created all the carnage, then no one needs to examine why those cases weren't solved sooner, or why tips were ignored, or why families were dismissed, or why vulnerable women were collateral damage in a system that didn't value their lives enough to protect them. But we can't afford that lie anymore. Not when the truth is sitting right there staring back. Long Island's problem wasn't one man. It was the ecosystem that hid him and that still hides others to this day. Justice doesn't come from catching a single lone wolf. It comes from controlling the forest, from changing the culture that let predators pick their victims without resistance, from demanding accountability in departments that once turned a blind eye, and from giving dignity to the cases that were ignored. And from acknowledging that the danger never ended, it simply changed shape. Because catching Rex Heuermann doesn't mean the woods are safe. It just means that one shadow finally stepped into the light. And the question now, the question nobody wants to ask is, how many shadows are still out there watching the tree line, waiting for the world to look away again? Your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. I'd love to hear them. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi so you can join us there and give us your feedback. I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.